You're listening to Potential Cast Season 3, Episode 6, Band Candy. Sunnydale's adult population begins acting like immature teenagers after eating candy bars being sold to finance new high school band uniforms.
I'm Kimberly.
This is Gabby.
I'm Illyrio.
And I'm Moira.
Moira! Hello!
And I'm Christine.
What?
Surprise!
That's right.
Yeah, Christine.
Double Canadian co-host.
Oh my gosh, that is...
This is a first.
Canadians against two Americans.
Yeah, we just wanted to make sure that we really outnumbered you.
Man.
And Christine and I have an announcement. Christine is now ahead of us. She is ahead of Potential Cast.
No spoilers.
Yes.
I will not spoil. Spoilers. I will not. And I'm not that far ahead.
She must have been watching nonstop. She was starting at...
Actually, I was.
Oh, wow. And then one day it was like, okay, I'm about to watch Lover's Walk. I'm like, all right, I guess I'll leave the room. And I did. Like a good potential.
That's disappointing, but I understand.
So Moira, you're in Kingston, which is in between Montreal and Toronto?
Correct. Halfway.
Right in the middle.
Yep.
Yeah.
Technically, if I could be a Canada nerd, Napanese right in the middle.
No.
Right after.
No.
Gananoque is.
Gananoque is right in the middle.
I'm 15 minutes from Gananoque. Give me a break.
All right.
True.
So Brussels? Did you go to the Home Hardware in Napanee and get one of those t-shirts when Avril wore it on Saturday Night Live? I guess that's a no.
That's a no.
Because I had a friend that drove.
Homeowners.
All the way to the to Napanee to get a t-shirt.
Oh, seriously?
Wow. Yeah. Embarrassing.
Did it have her name on it?
No, because Avril wore it on Saturday Night Live, right? When she was in the complicated phase when she wore the ties and like everybody freaked out. Like, Home Hardware is on Saturday Night Live! And you can only get it from Napanee.
That's hilarious.
Slappanee, Ontario.
And everyone else is listening is like, what the hell are these stupid Canucks talking
about? Avril LaHoo? Yeah, exactly.
Hey, we don't make them popular. We just birth them.
It's like the Bieber thing. We don't take any responsibility for
no,
that.
Man.
It's not our fault.
He was nobody knew who that little lesbian was before he made it to the big time because he hit American radio.
Oh, dear.
It's going to be one of those.
Isn't it always, Kim?
Yeah, it is.
I'm in fine form. No more belly aching for me. All right. Band Candy.
Was anyone else disturbed by this episode?
No.
Disturbed. How?
I loved and hated this episode.
I felt there were cringeworthy moments.
Very much so.
But I want to know where this is going aspect of it kept me from totally cringing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, young Giles was a little bit much for me.
With his belly shirt?
Yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Cringe, there's nothing to cringe. This is an awesome episode.
It was awesome.
I don't disagree with that statement, but...
It was awesome.
I wasn't expecting... I was surprised they went there.
though. I thought it was so fun that they went there. It was hilarious.
It
was
fun. I had fun.
It was a fun episode.
Yeah, it was so silly.
I guess I was expecting more serious episodes, and I appreciated the funness of it, but I kept waiting for it to wear off really soon so that we could get to the actual crux of it, and then it didn't, and so I was kind of like, okay, I guess this is just the context for this episode then.
Well, it's true, because the crux all happens in the last 4 minutes, right?
yes, when Buffy kills the basilisk.
Exactly. That's exactly what I thought of. We were dropped into a Harry Potter movie.
Shall we read some feedback?
Let's.
Okay.
I do believe there is something from Missy.
Okay.
Missy,
you may read
writes,
it. I'll read it.
Oh, you want to read it? Go for it.
Missy, Bang Candy. I told myself I wasn't going to do this, but Bang Candy is too awesome to not email in about it. So I will be quick and just make points. Number one, Ripper and Joyce getting it on. Genius. Cordy not liking her mom wearing spandex. LOL. Number three, more Sandra and Willow affair. Love. Why does Missy love this so much?
That's disturbing.
Yeah.
Yes. Number four, Ethan Rain, Mr. Trick, and the mayor in cohorts. WTF. Number five, Summer, you drive like a spaz. Yes, you stole quote. Buffy driving. The potentials have been wondering why. That's why. Basically, the entire episode is pure genius. I'm sure I forgot stuff. The last time I watched it was last week. LOL. From
Thank you, Missy.
Awesome.
Nuchas writes, my two favorite things about this episode is Buffy's mom and Giles, Ripper for the win, and Snyder. I laugh so much each time I watch.
Snyder is such a dork.
Snyder.
You guys try to ditch me?
Yes.
Or how about, oh, are you guys like going together?
And I know Taekwondo. I learned Taekwondo at the Y.
Yes.
Angie Nine writes, hi Gax and maybe Robin. No, it's Moira and Christine. Haha. The double Canadian cougar attack? Is that what this is? Band Candy is a fan favorite, and with good reason. I have so many quotes from this episode that I love, and I'm wondering which ones will make the podcast. Ripper is back, and judging by his style, he was a teenager in the 1950s. Or was an extra in West Side Story.
Yes.
I really like Joyce in this episode, which is a shocker since my Joyce hate is legendary. However, when Joyce says, it's like getting married and having a kid was all a bad dream, etc. It really shows us how she feels about Buffy.
Exactly.
No.
How do you feel about Ethan? I love him. He's such a rake. And Principal Snyder, you make me laugh out loud. You make me laugh out loud, Snyder, with your welcome back Cotter reference. I'm really glad Faith wasn't around for this episode. I'm afraid that she would have had sex with Giles because I think they would have really gone for each other. Files, Gaith. Ick. Loving the podcast, Angie. Gabby, you read Christine Claudine's feedback.
Okay. Hey, Gax. Spoilers for Band Candy below. Just a quick note to tell you how much I'm enjoying your podcast. Hopefully, you've now seen Band Candy. If not, stop reading. Hear me, spoilers. I just feel right. Like a pirate. Hear me, spoilers. It's one of my favorite eps, mostly because I love Ethan Rain and Ripper together. This episode is so much fun. While rewatching it in preparation for your podcast, I started wondering what Buffy's Facebook newsfeed might have looked like on Facebook back then. So I created See Attached PDF. Hope you enjoy it. Keep up the great work.
Don't read that part.
See? Yeah. Okay, so I haven't looked at it. Did you guys look at it yet?
The PDF?
Yeah.
No, I'm going to view it right now.
Buffy Summers is at Sunnydale Cemetery with Rupert Giles.
SAT prep bites. Chris likes this.
That is awesome.
Willow Rosenberg, I'll be your study buddy if you won't call me.
Mayor Richard Wilkins III is at City Hall with Mr. Trick.
Principal Snyder, participation is mandatory.
So, oh, no, he created the event Band Candy Sale. Xander, is there a dislike button?
Thin ice.
Buffy Summers, who wants to buy some yummy, cocorific candy bars? Willa Rosenberg likes this. Xander Harris, cheater. Cocorific candy bars will be sold by every miscreant and addle brain student. This school has the unfortunate responsibility of educating. Not in the band, not my problem. Mayor Richard Wilkins III likes this.
We should post this. This is so funny.
We will post this, absolutely.
This is brilliant.
Xander Harris, does that include those of us who are just lollygaggers or scallywags? Snyder, my office, first thing, Harris. Buffy Summers is now friends with Joyce Summers.
Joyce, finally! Oh, Joyce Summers created the event, the Mormons.
This is too funny.
That is brilliant. Oh my god. Willow Rosenberg, anybody seen Buffy? Joyce Summers, I thought she was with you. Willow, uh-oh.
Joyce Summers, okay, you guys have to send me this.
Colorific candy bars. Oh my god, Rupert Giles likes colorific candy bars. Buffy Summers is now friends with Ms. Barton. Oh my, goes on.
Joyce Summers is in a relationship with Rupert Giles. Big heart.
Oh my god.
This is too good.
This is totally getting posted.
Oh my god, Willow Rosenberg, need a new doctor. Any suggestions? I don't think he's dead. Still with the shirtlessness.
Yes.
This is so good.
Ms. Barton is a Taco Bell.
Oh my god.
Puppy Summers is at clandestine candy making factory.
Wow.
Oh my god.
Too good.
Oh, wow.
Christine is...
That's fantastic. All right. This is getting posted very soon. Wow. All right. Sorry. Okay. Holy moly.
That was good. That was so good.
Who the hell is Pat?
Snyder. Hey, librarian. You know you look like that guy from One Day at a Time with your cigarettes rolled up in your sleeve like that. Ripper Giles. Piss off, you little punks. Rupert Giles is no longer in a relationship with Joyce Summers.
Oh, let's go.
Brilliant.
Awesome.
Did anyone kind of squirm when Giles and Joyce started making out?
I squirmed.
Oh, it was so awkward. I was like, this shouldn't be happening. Why can't I turn away? Good.
There's one from Shelley.
I can read that one if you'd like.
Sure.
Okay.
Shelly writes to us, Band Candy! Hey, Gax, and lucky special guest Desiree. Actually, the part of Desiree will now be played by Christine Lewis and Moira Brown. Fun. So now you can understand why, as soon as season 3 started, there was a countdown to this fabulous episode over in the Prohibited to Potentials group. This is the first TV show I've ever obsessed about. So in the past, I never paid much attention to the writers for individual episodes. Thus, I was not prepared for the amazing, witty, clever, and well-structured writing of Jane Espenson in this, her first, but by no means last episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. After Joss is my master now, Whedon himself, Jane is my favorite Buffy the Vampire Slayer writer, although her pop culture references are a bit dated now. I mean, Seals and Croft, Burt Reynolds. I tried rewatching this as a newbie, slowly catching on to the subtle bits of change in each scene as the adults slowly morph into teenagers and the kids have to suddenly act like adults. Be careful what you wish for, Buffy. Truly inspired writing. Ripper, Ethan, Snyder! I think you'll need a whole podcast just for the quotes because there's so many great ones. I'm looking forward to Illyrio's comments on Joyce's mothering skills. And yes, Gax, you finally get your goice! And I don't think it's too spoilery to tell you that it's perfectly okay to pronounce it with goice, a hard G, as in Gax. You'll find out why in a few years. All right. Foreshadowing. All this and naked angel doing Tai Chi. What more could you ask? Love you guys, Shelly. I concur, Shelly. I concur.
Awesome.
Oh, Tai Chi.
Aww. I wondered when he'd learn that.
You mean while getting moisturized in the demon dimension?
Yeah, for instance.
Yeah, when did he learn Tai Chi? Did Angel or Angela spend a lot of time in Asia?
Yes. I think he learned that years ago in Asia.
We're just making up this backstory as we go.
About his Tai Chi. Tai Chi Chi.
Awesome.
It's therapy for morose, moody vampires that are sad and full of soul.
Yes, again.
Yes.
You only do Tai Chi when you get your soul back a second time.
Do you know what's good, though? When he's doing the Tai Chi, he's not talking.
This is true. This is very true.
Awesome.
A silent angel is a pleasant angel.
A silent shirtless angel is an even more pleasant angel.
Indeed. Awesome. Indeed.
What about Facebook group?
Facebook group feedback! Engage!
Engage.
Yes, I had jelly beans. Don't judge me, Gabby. All right, so... Wow, lots of comments here. Karen Schultz says, I loved Ben Candy, Joyce, and Giles sitting in a tree.
Mostly for Revelations.
Yeah.
Mostly for Revelations.
There's a lot of
Revelations. We asked for band candy last week, but I got sick, and we couldn't do lots of band candy stuff. So can we... Wow.
Yeah.
Carol Swift writes, band candy. Well, folks were waiting for Joyce and Giles to get together, but did you ever expect it to happen like this? I think many of us have been smiling and thinking of band candy whenever Joyles would laughingly come up on the podcast. That is one of the things that is most fun about the podcast. So many of your comments that are going to happen, whether offhand or predicted, are not going to happen in any way that you would expect. That may also be the case for things you get spoiled about. Someone said this was their favorite episode of the series. I think that is unusual, while at the same time thinking it is in most people's top 10 or 20. There are so many great moments in this episode, but the one that comes back to me the most is always at the end when Willow looks at the lockers that have Kiss Rocks written on them. And I won't go any further so as to not take anyone's quote. Thank you, Carol. This is the first episode of... This is the first episode of fan favorite writer and all around nice person, Jane Espenson. I love her writing because even when she stumbles and doesn't write a great episode, the love of the characters, especially the minor ones, shines beautifully. Look what she did with Snyder in this one. Mm-hmm. She also has a great blog, not currently very active, about writing spec scripts to become a TV writer. But some of the entries are spoilery for Buffy and Angel. I'm sure if anyone wants to read it, we could figure out which dates to avoid. She comments again. Oh, I forgot. Someone on the podcast said that they were not as into Buffy the Vampire Slayer as everyone wanted them to be, and I'm sure that is okay with everyone. Right, guys? That said, I watched intermittently when it was first on. The show changes so much as the characters grow up that it's not until I saw a much later season that I got totally hooked. Then I went back to fill in the blanks and fully understand how everyone got to that point. You may never love it like so many people do, or there may come a moment when it finally goes to a place that really gets you. Relax. We love you, whatever your experience becomes. Right, guys? All right. I think that's good for feedback.
That's good.
Yes.
All right, so Buffy's about to take the SATs, and Giles is helping her study.
So SATs are these standardized entrance exams? Is that it?
What are SATs?
They what?
What are SATs? Tell your non-American listeners what SATs are.
I don't know, because we never took them. I think that's a...
Gabby, did you take SATs?
I did. They are a test that everybody stresses out about because allegedly, if you do very poorly on them, you won't get into a good college.
I thought what determined if you got into a good college was how much money your parents had.
Yeah, that's the real answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not the TV answer.
Sorry, Dr. Huxtable.
Well, that's what I was forced to believe as a child. Yeah. Whatever.
Right. Isn't it things Mark Zuckerberg, what's his name? Zuckerberg? Whatever. The Facebook guy that he scored
Mark
perfect
Zuckerberg.
On? Yeah. Didn't he score perfect on? Or something? 700 and something. I don't know. What's the perfect score on an SAT?
750 on written and 750 on math, right?
Isn't it 60? Yes.
Wow.
I thought it was 1600 was perfect.
I thought it was 1400. It's been a long time since
no. I learned that Zach Morris got 15 something and he went to Yale. Or he's going to go to Yale. I was like, Zach Morris? Same with hell.
Well, then it's got to be true.
Must be.
And Jesse Spano was so like, what? You beat me? No. Totally.
So when do people take them? Junior year, senior year, what? It's senior year, right? Is this the year right before you go to college?
No, you take them in your junior year because you get the scores back when you apply for college in your senior year.
So why are they taking them in their senior year?
I don't know.
So
at least I remember it that way. Again, it's been 20 years.
Because it's all about the lead up to, it's all about, you know, this is their senior year, lead up to graduation. What are they going to do next year? I mean, you know, this is a show that says high school is hell. What is this show going to do when they're not in high school anymore? Mm-hmm. It's going to become totally different. Anyway, that's what it's leading up to. It's getting you excited for what's to come next. You know, Buffy's graduating high school. Hmm. But what I don't understand is, you know, Buffy wants to drive. And Joyce doesn't trust her. She's afraid she's going to run off again. And Buffy, you know, we see that Buffy can't drive. And I don't understand why she can slay vampires, but she does not possess the necessary hand-eye coordination to drive her car.
Good point.
A car's not made of wood, Steph. That's what it is.
Yes.
Doesn't have fangs. Well...
But you know the scene where Joyce is telling her that she doesn't want to let her drive because she doesn't trust her not to run off. Okay, did anybody else just get really pissed off with Joyce at that point?
Yes.
I'm always pissed off with Joyce constantly, so maybe I didn't feel any change in mood at that point. But all kidding aside.
Give it a like, rest, Joyce. Have you not already had this discussion?
Yeah,
like, come on.
Yeah, haven't we moved past this?
Yeah.
Apparently Joyce thinks she's starring in Days of Our Lives.
I think so.
It's and no one ever Joyce. Moves on. For weeks.
I kind of like Joyce when she was in her teenage mode. I thought that was the most likable Joyce could be.
The most likable Joyce could be is get away from my daughter while she's holding an axe and threatening Spike. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And since then, it's just been letdown after letdown after letdown.
I thought teenage Joyce was so bimbo-like.
I agree.
She's hilarious.
Well, you know the scene where they've encountered the police officer, right?
Yeah.
And anyway, and then they're going to lean back on the car and they're about to kiss. And Joyce takes out her gum and all I could think of was Rizzo from Grease, right?
Yeah.
Only Rizzo. Oh.
But about the Joyce hate, I know somebody on the Facebook group, and I don't know who it is. I wish I knew that so I could give them credit. They said that they feel like Joyce is the character that the story needs her to be. That it's not if she's a good parent or not. She's whatever facilitates the story.
Mm-hmm.
Not that she's her own character.
So she's a plot device.
Yeah. That's how they feel like, that's how they look at Joyce.
Hmm. I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, when I read that, that made total sense to me. Yeah.
Okay, but it's fun to kind of curse her. Come on.
So, as soon as I saw that candy, I was like, okay, what's in the candy?
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be something in that generic
candy. What's going
on? Pardon?
It took me a while to catch on what was going on. And then I was like, oh, it's the candy.
The candy.
I thought it was brilliant. The bronze scenes were my favorite.
Oh my God. The bronze scenes were insane.
My favorite is the mailman on the merry-go-round going through everybody's mail.
I know.
So good.
Oh, I like
that. At some point, I thought, well, yeah, this is going a little too far. This is not how teenagers act. This is a little. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. You know, at some point, it's a little exaggerated. It's like, no, teenagers don't really act this bad. This is worse than teenagers.
Yes.
But it was so bad, it was good.
Yes.
Okay, I thought the four guys singing Louie Louie were just
that was good. I was like, oh man, that's where they got that idea to in the movie Old School. They watched Buffy because that's exactly what my brain went to, and this was years before Old School.
Oh, man.
So Buffy wants to voom. But Shirtless Angel plus Tai Chi equals Buffy Heat.
Okay, that's one of my notes. The look on her face when she walks in and she first sees him and her little mouth drops open and she's trying to pretend it's because, oh, you're so strong now. Okay, no, that's not why your mouth drops open, honey. Oh, it's total Buffy lust.
Yes.
Who's she kidding?
I didn't remember Ethan Rain's name. So I quickly jotted down in all caps when we first see him. It's Acid Man! Acid Man is back.
We're going to learn more about those two history together. Okay, you don't have to answer because
he actually seeing Ripper was a treat because, you know, wow, that's what Giles was back then.
Mm-hmm. Tyrant.
Mm.
I like seeing Giles out of his Giles-ness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you notice a change in his accent?
No.
If you go back and look at the scene where he and Joyce are first playing the vinyl records,
mm-hmm.
and he goes from when he's talking with Buffy before she leaves, he's got his very upper crust Giles accent. And the second she's out the door, he turns totally lowbrow. It's hilarious. Go back and listen.
They say that is his actual accent.
The lowbrow?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Wow. It's hilarious.
Did everyone catch the sub-table hijinks?
No.
Oh, you mean Xander and...
The Xander and Willow below the table hijinks?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I hate that.
I don't like that at all.
I want it to end.
And it's literally behind Cordelia's back. Literally.
Yeah.
You know? It's, come on. How metaphorical did we get?
Oh, not at all. In the close-up... of the Adidas.
Were they Were they brown suede Adidas?
Red, no.
Oh, God. Oh, it was so awful.
I just think Willow would be above that. I don't... Mm-hmm. She's too good.
She's been pining over him for years.
Mm-hmm. But still, I would think that she would have it in her heart not to be so cruel to Oz. Because the thing is, if Oz finds out, that's the same way he's going to feel when she caught Xander and Cordelia kissing the first time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She knows what it's like. And I don't like that she's doing it to someone else.
Yeah,
because to me, that's
I'm
not
thinking the fact that Oz is a werewolf is a bit of a burden. Mm. And I think that maybe that's why she's like, you know, allowing herself to be such a slut. Sorry, Willow. I'm disappointed in you, Willow.
It's just so unfair, though, because Xander knows that Willow's been pining for him forever. And, yeah. And he just
He's a douche. He's a mega douche.
It's painful. It's just painful.
Yeah.
I'm assuming, Steph, they're going to resolve this at some point, right?
Yeah, it's not going to go on for another four seasons, is it?
It's going to be fun.
Nobody knows, nobody knows, nobody knows.
Oh, God. I can't wait for it. I think that's my countdown now. Hmm. The countdown to when that nonsense is going to end. I can't take it anymore.
Hmm. So, Moira, are you like us? Are you not, you're watching it for the first time?
Yes. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, I don't know what's happening either.
Love it.
You and your daughter.
Well, she's way ahead of me. She couldn't stand how, you know, we're only doing one every week or two. I think she's at the end of season four.
Wow.
And she's not telling me anything.
It's good. Is she watching Angel, too?
No, we don't have it yet.
Okay.
So
it's on Netflix.
I don't have Netflix.
What?
Me neither.
What?
So sorry.
It's the bestest.
I already have Apple TV, and I have my coach.
The Netflix goes on the Apple TV.
Anyway, I'm thinking I'll buy the series. I'll buy the Angel series. Or ask for it for my birthday. So,
Even better idea.
Yeah. Well, watching it with us is better. It's going to be better because you can experience the crossover episodes, and it's epic.
Do you know what? Watching it along with you guys is so much fun because I get so much more out of the episodes. I do. I think about them more than I would if I was just watching and whipping through them. Like that Christine.
I was going to say.
How far? You're not that far ahead, are you?
No, I'm only like one or two episodes.
Oh, come on, guys.
Ahead of you guys.
The last one she watched was Lover's Walk.
Okay, but are you going to now watch with us or are you going to just keep buzzing ahead like Emily?
She's probably going to buzz ahead because Christine here is right now on a podcast she does not listen to.
Yeah.
So you're just like him.
Just like me.
Kim, why do you not listen? It's so fun to listen.
The thing is, I honestly, because I hate the sound of my own voice, and I'm when you guys are talking, I will out loud speak back like I'm talking to you. And sometimes I say the exact same thing that I say, and sometimes I say the entire opposite thing. It drives me nuts, and I just like, I can't listen to myself because I think I sound like a complete moron. So
that's you're funny, aren't you?
I can't listen to my. It was the same way with the Lost Initiative podcast. Sometimes I would cringe when I had to edit it. I'm like, oh, can I take this out, please? But then it didn't make sense. I'm like, okay, I'll leave it in.
Oh, you're way too mean to yourself.
I am.
Yeah, I agree. Your voice sounds great.
Yeah. It's not my voice. It's like what I'm saying. That are put together in a sentence. I'm like, that didn't even make sense, Kimberly.
Well, you're making perfect sense now. If that
yes,
helps.
You are.
She's quite coherent, isn't she? Yep.
Okay.
Hey, you know, I have a thought about the mayor.
Yes.
Well, okay, so we see this open, the first time we see him and he's in cahoots with Mr. Trick, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, how far back does this guy's history with dealing with devils and beasties go?
Yeah,
and,
I'm wondering
and, you know,
that
and how is that what's got him to power? Or, you know, did he get attracted to the Hellmouth because he's a creepo and it's a place for him? Or what's the deal?
I think it was really dirty and he wanted to go there and clean it up with his hand sanitizer. I think the mayor, my personal theory, I have a theory, is that the mayor is a demon of some sort.
Hmm.
And I so
does that make podcast. Snyder in on it or just I a think
he wasn't in on the it. He wasn't in on the chocolate though.
I think he's a
no,
lackey.
He wasn't. You no, think what?
I think Snyder's like a little lackey. Like he's
just a pawn.
Kind of a minion, yeah. Way at the bottom end and he's only told what he needs to know.
Hmm.
That's what I think.
I think that Snyder knows something's going on. That's why he's so keen on Buffy.
Mm-hmm.
He has to know. Come on. Why would he be so
well, unless he's told you watch her particularly and that's
true.
It.
Maybe. But Snyder doesn't seem all that bright, right? Whereas the mayor's a little more crafty. And also, why would the mayor sit there in a room with a vampire and be completely cocky and not at all worried about being eaten for lunch?
Huh.
Unless
true.
He's got something over them. I don't get it.
Yeah.
True.
Maybe he's like the head vampire.
Ooh. Well, I don't think he's a vampire.
No,
because
he's out in the daytime.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. He is out in the day.
I think he's got some kind of dealy going on with some other beasties. I don't know. Something's going on there.
What's more powerful than a vampire? In the food chain of...
sparkly vampire?
How about that guy that Buffy killed with the Uzi? Or the,
what was the bazooka?
The bazooka.
Oh, the judge.
Oh, the judge, yeah.
Maybe he's one of those.
Nah. Maybe he's just got protective spells on. Honest to God, I don't know, but there's something fishy.
Maybe he's like a mega warlock.
Maybe he's got one of those ring like the Salvatore brothers. That's why he can walk
in the I don't watch that show.
What do you call it? His little armoire of horrors kind of look like a warlock. So.
He must be some kind of witch warlock guy. He must be Snape. He's Snape. He's Voldemort.
Stephanie, are you squirming right now? Because you want to they're so wrong or they're so right.
The only redeeming thing about the mayor is that
the listeners are loving this.
Well, I have a question about the mayor, now that we're all talking about. Remember a couple of episodes ago, he made some comment about how they needed the children or something? Is this what he was referring to? Because they were going to eat babies?
I hope not.
Probably so.
By the way, can I just state for the record that if all you want is like 3 or 4 babies... You don't have to go through all the trouble.
That's true.
We're going to need to make chocolate, and we're going to have to put something that turns people into teenagers so they become extraordinarily irresponsible so that we can get away with walking into a nursery and stealing babies that are barely being supervised anyway.
Yeah,
you walk in, you knock out the nurse, and you go in. Oh, you know what? She's wearing a white coat. She's in cahoots with you anyway, right? Overweight women in white coats, they're in cahoots with the bad guy?
They wanted it to blow up quick because the adults were going to blame themselves. Oh, if we hadn't behaved this way, then these babies would have been
But it was only 3 babies. That was like a whole entire town that was drugged on the chocolate.
Yeah, 4. It was 4 again.
Oh, it was 4. Okay.
I can get you 3 babies in 24 hours. I'm just saying.
One of them will be ours.
27040 Buffy.
Babies in little nurseries where the mommies aren't around anymore anyway. Like, everybody rooms in, right? There's no babies in slots.
I think
like,
all of a sudden,
it's
like Sunnydale was permanently transfixed in the 1960s.
Maybe. It's bizarre. But you know what? You know at the end when the babies are all in front of Laconus, the evil, basilisk. And I'm watching them, and I'm thinking to myself, these are the worst bundles of fake babies ever because none of them are wriggling or moving. It's just so chaotic dead.
Well, they used a calming spell.
What?
They used a calming spell. A calming spell.
So maybe the mayor
is
a warlock.
Caillou, Dora, Diego. And they calm down.
Okay, let's go with that. Yeah.
Forget a kiss.
Forget a kiss.
Forget a kiss.
It was just another one of those, like when Luke in The Harvest, you will see the power of, just shut up and kill people.
Well, couldn't they possess, a couple of, young parents and just take their babies?
That's what I was going to suggest.
It's our twins. A couple sets of twins are all set.
Oh, guys, we just got a last-minute email. It says SOD.
Okay, one other thing. Listen, that basilisk dude, he was ginormous. So you mean to tell me 4 little babies are going to satisfy him for 30 years?
It's a mystical thing.
Oh, man.
Well, maybe he had one of those stomach reduction surgeries.
That's the wind. There you go.
His stomach was stapled.
Okay, we'll go.
But then it wouldn't have been as good of an episode.
I know, I have to admit, I was expecting something smaller.
The next giant basilisk thing?
Yeah. Something human size.
Yeah.
You know, then it would make sense to consume
like
four babies.
Like Kulak from the Meatpack Clan?
For example.
What?
The spanner-headed yellow-skinned dude.
Okay.
Spanner-head.
So, I must state that I get very nervous whenever I see Giles's door is ajar. And when Buffy walked up to his apartment,
yep.
Or his condo or townhouse or whatever it might be, his yep. flat.
Whatever it is has a creepy door.
The door was ajar, and I'm like, uh-oh, what's going on?
Totally flashback.
And this was worse.
Yeah.
This is worse.
It was worse there than was, a dead yes. Miss Gallander?
Well, I mean, I laugh at Goyles and everything and stuff, but, you know.
It's just not right.
This is not right. I mean, if it was Stuffy Giles and current Buffy's mom, maybe I would be a little bit less put off, but because it was their previous selves, it was just like, really? I just didn't... I was dissatisfied. Although I thought Ripper was cool.
Yeah.
I thought he was a little bit too obsessed with his hair, though.
And I take issue with his fashion sense. You know, the white t-shirt over the slightly bulging tummy, it's just, it wasn't working for, you know?
Maybe he was obsessed with Happy Days.
Maybe. Very left on.
Mm-hmm. Deli shirts were very into fashion at the time.
Yeah, for girls. Not librarians.
No!
But did you notice what Joyce was drinking when Buffy kind of came in and found them?
Was it schnapps?
It was Kahlua.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. So, right. I'm giving you one credit for the Kahlua. You get one little notch up in my world for having
But isn't that like a typical like teenager drinking
yes.
underage drink?
Yeah. Holy, it's so funny. Yes.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
That's what goes in coffee.
Bailey's Irish Cream.
You pour it over ice cream. That's what you do.
Oh. If you're underage and listening to this, we are not responsible for anything you may in fact put over your ice cream.
Substitute for chocolate sauce, please.
So in my notes I have here, Ripper equals awesome, Young Joyce equals stupid. who's with me?
Stupid and slutty.
I loved her.
You loved Young Joyce?
I liked Joyce the most in this episode.
It seemed more natural and likable.
Yes, it did. It totally did.
It didn't seem forced. Like when she's Mom Joyce, seems forced and doesn't seem like very good acting going on. But however, Young Joyce, absolutely. I totally bought it.
I don't know. Maybe when the feeling I get sometimes with watching Grown Up Joyce is either she's Buffy's a burden or she's jealous of Buffy. I can't decide which one.
I think she blames Buffy for the destruction of her marriage.
Maybe. But in this episode, I totally bought it. My favorite part was when she was wearing that coat and Buffy sees it for the first time. She's like, Mom, that coat. It was so funny. Her and her mom share the same fashion. That's cute.
Where did Joyce get the boots?
Yeah, I know what you...
Are they Buffy's?
I don't know.
They could be. Because, you know, Cordelia's mother was born her space.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, I see what you're saying about Young Joyce seems dumb. She's fawning over Giles. And, you know, it's like she's trying really hard to make him like her.
Yes, like you are correct. I did not take that into account.
Yeah.
How, she's just like how an insecure person would act towards the opposite sex.
Right, and then she's so disdainful toward poor little Schneider when he's trying to hit on her. She, you know, she rolls her eyes.
Turns
her
nose.
Yeah, slides off the table and walks away. It's just classic.
So Schneider is Xander and Giles is Angel in this scenario?
Yeah, a bit, yeah.
Where Joyce is Buffy.
But doesn't it always make you feel sorry for Snyder? Like, really? I just picture him in high school being completely rejected with those ears, you know? It's just so sad.
Well, there was some foreshadowing. And becoming what? Part two, when he confronts Buffy in the library, and she says, you really didn't date any dates when you were in high school, did you? And then we find out that this is most likely true.
Mm-hmm. I found him funny than sad.
Yeah, I think here I have a Snyder as Barbarino is awesome.
Yes. That's funny that the adults were more likable when they're being completely ridiculous. But when the kids are being completely ridiculous, we're like, what a douche, what a dumb kid, you know? Oh, wait till you grow up.
Yes. I suppose, yeah.
Now, would Snyder, if Buffy the Vampire Slayer took place in the 70s, would Snyder be like Jonathan?
Interesting. Or would he be Scott Hope?
Oh, I love the way Buffy almost doesn't remember who Scott is. She's like, Scott who?
Who the hell is Scott?
He's Pat's son.
You know what? Probably. I want to break up with you because you stabbed my mother in the face with a shovel. But I'm going to blame your distractedness. See, I'm not even going to do the typical, it's not you, it's me. I'm going to actually, to your face, say, you know, I liked you when you paid attention to me. But now that I realize I'm not the center of your universe, I'm going to dump you and go out with someone else. Sorry, I know that was another episode, but if anyone was wondering, Scott, me no likey, Scott. So Ethan runs away again. But this time he did not have to mutilate himself with acid.
I was kind of surprised to see him again, though.
You were?
Yeah. Nobody else was?
I think I was led to believe that we'd see him again.
I hope that's not the last we see of him.
I concur.
Mm-hmm. He's a good little weasel, isn't he? He's fun to watch. Yeah.
He has moments
of bravado.
I want to
see him and Giles as teenagers, like real teenagers.
But we saw a clip of that. We saw, remember when they performed that spell or whatever it was way back?
I want to see more of that. I'm all about the backstories.
The Mark of Igon?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, Igon, take me away. Give me all your babies. And I thought, oh man, they're going to take all the babies. It's going to be, this is like Ten Commandments style, man. This is Exodus. This is books of Exodus stuff. And three babies.
Four.
Four. It was four.
Four babies.
Three?
Four.
Oh.
If you're going to gripe accurately.
Okay. Four babies.
I'm going to blame it on I was watching it on my iPhone and I couldn't tell.
The babies were tiny.
In the faux rock bassinet.
Yeah, but don't you have like a retina display on that thing? Isn't the resolution like so good it's too good? Never mind. Oh, and as if we couldn't have guessed, where are we going to find this thing? In the sewers.
Mm-hmm.
Are sewers really that big?
They can be.
I was wondering that
the other day. Sunnydale.
Yeah, well, like in Montreal.
Christine, it's the center of mystical convergence. You can't fight Sunnydale. The sewers are huge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know in The Third Man, I think it's Austria, their sewers are, you know, you can run around in the sewers.
You know, in Paris.
That's right.
They can even take you on tours.
That's right.
This is true.
Yeah, Rome.
Right.
The so there you go. So Sunnydale is like, you know, Paris or Rome.
Or Rome.
Or, you know, when they filmed the movie The Score. You know, they filmed the movie The Score in Montreal, and they filmed part of it in Montreal sewers. Apparently we have huge sewers, too, somewhere.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I think it was in one of the snow dumpage sites.
Oh.
And those are pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
And my last note is Buffy killed the basilisk. I think I was just so disappointed it was a giant snake, I kind of stopped taking notes.
Well, and it was so obvious how she would kill him after the mayor had made the comment, the phone call, cell call or whatever, to his office to comment on the pipes and the exposed pipes and gas lines in the sewers. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, okay, well, we know how this beastie's going to die.
Mm-hmm. Although, did anyone else get scared that Giles fell in the water?
A little nervous, yeah.
Yes, I was tense.
I like you, the Giles. I don't want the Giles to get that fast.
I was shaking in my boots with 5 minutes left in the episode.
Wait a second. Are you telling me there's a formula to these?
No.
Oh, did anybody notice when Buffy jumps up on the outside of the chocolate factory and she's fighting off whatever, some beastie, to get in the doors, and she has a choreographed, you know, scene with him. Anyway, at one point, she's ducking down way before he swings. It's hilarious. And I went back and I watched it again thinking, did I really see that? I'm like, yep, okay, you anticipated that just a tad too quickly there, Buffy.
She's clairvoyant.
She is.
But it's good. I mean, the fight scenes are fun to watch. They're much more fun now than they used to be.
Oh,
but still,
the fight
cute.
Scenes are amazing.
There's so much. Oh, my God. Season one, you are the redheaded stepchild of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Season three, fight scenes. It is. I can't wait till we talk about next week's episode.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Well, yeah, the fight scenes are much improved. Thing.
Which we haven't seen yet.
What? You watched ahead?
What?
How dare you?
I'm sorry.
Fight scenes, what are you talking about? It's Tai Chi.
What?
Sexy Tai Chi. Topless Tai Chi.
The only kind of Tai Chi that counts.
Yes, when Christine and I went to China in 2005 for a couple weeks, and we... would wake up early enough to see the older people in the park doing their Tai Chi.
Yeah,
it was amazing how
twice.
Many of them were topless.
It's true. Right beside where my parents' house is, we live beside a park, and there's a paved, like a clay tennis court. Mm-hmm. And every morning, I'm not kidding you, there's like 50 people doing Tai Chi early in the morning.
Are they all Chinese?
They are, yeah.
Yeah.
We live in a very Asian part of the suburb of Toronto. And yeah, every morning, it's just, they do their Tai Chi. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Yeah.
It's like
Tai Chi...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Mo. Is Tai Chi, is it like Pilates? Is it like the same...
It's more like calisthenics. Like
it's a series of, I think it's 108 movements, and you learn them in order.
Did you say 108?
Yeah, it might be. It's something. Like, it's a lot. I actually took it one summer. I took part of it. I think I got to about move number 57 or something.
Oh,
I don't
yeah?
know. And it's just these slow, controlled mm-hmm. movements mm-hmm. of your arms and legs, and you change positions, but it's all completely... choreographed. It's always the same. Which is why when you see, like I was going to say, in San Francisco, I remember seeing hordes of these Chinese people in the parks in the morning doing their Tai Chi.
Yeah,
and it's really quite
unison.
Beautiful to watch.
It's
lovely. It's very relaxing.
It is.
So is it like a meditation too? Is it like a way to clear your mind?
To
connect your mind and the...
Sort of, because your breathing is matched to your movements. So in that sense, I guess it is. You know, you kind of lose yourself in the motion and the breathing and the timing of it.
Mm-hmm. I believe
it's very calming.
What Karate Kid 2 taught me is that, in fact...
Wax on?
No, that was Karate Kid. Karate Kid 2, when they're in Okinawa, is that apparently all these movements, if you actually do them much faster, you can defend yourself. That's what I learned from Hollywood.
I don't think I was taught that. But we can put that under suspension of disbelief. It's all good.
Well, but it is a martial art, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, well.
It's really cool to see. Any other points that we want to discuss? Any mail? Voicemails? Do we have homework for next week?
Wait, that's later.
Next week.
Wait. Do we
Hilaria.
Want... Yes, pardon?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. if we don't have any more points, how about we rate the episode?
Let's okay. do it.
Do you want to go first then? Do I get to go first? That's exciting.
Yeah, do it.
Sure. Go do first, it. Makes it so easy. Okay. I love this. When you guys said there were parts of it that were making you cringe, I had such fun watching them being young and ridiculous. It was great. So I would give it 9 out of 10 slow motion shirtless Tai Chi angels.
Yes.
That I admit I went back and watched again.
Just that scene?
Just that scene. Yeah. You know, it was just fun.
Well, I agree. Just because the grown-ups are acting just a tad bit too silly for teenagers, I'll give it a 9.5 out of 10 sexy angel touches.
It's the rating caliber of choice.
Yes. Oh, my God. Oh, I loved this episode. Every time I watched it, yes, I watched it more than once. I watched it 3 times. Ah! I had a grin on my face, and I was laughing aloud. I mean, come on. You had stage-diving middle-aged guys.
Middle-aged diving.
It was awesome. The only thing was the Laconis at the end, and I'm like, eh, big snake, whatever. But I give it 9 3/4 out of 10 boxes filled with farm fresh chicken.
Well, I really enjoyed this episode, but when I say cringe, it was because I was embarrassed for these the adults, because I just cringe when they do such embarrassing things at any character on the show. I will give it probably I want to say 7.5 out of 10. I just had it. 7.5 out of 10 band uniforms.
Nice. I'd say that this episode for me had moments of, really? I don't really want that. I was joking about the goys, and now I have the goys, and I don't like the goys. And then there was, you know, Ripper being awesome, and then the scenes at the Bronze, and then Snyder. I'm gonna give this episode 9 out of 10 Taekwondo classes at the Y. Christine?
Yeah, I would say anywhere between 8.5 and 9. There were lots of really good quotes. I have to pick. Okay, 8.75.
What?
Out of 10.
But what?
8.75 out of 10. No, because
8.75 what out of 10? Sexy Tai Chi scenes.
Oh, good quotes. There were some really good quotes in this scene.
We're not up to quotes. See, this is what happens when people on the show that don't listen to the show.
No, I'm not talking. I wasn't going to quote anybody. I'm just saying they said some really funny things throughout the entire episode.
But if you were to rate this, you would rate it. What would be your unit of measure for the rating? I chose Taekwondo classes at the Y. I believe Moira and Steph chose the sexy Tai Chi. Mm-hmm. Band uniforms was Kim's choice.
I'd have to go boxes with sexy Tai Chi.
Sexy Tai Chi?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, sexy Tai Chi.
All right. Any incidences of bra watch?
2. It was Buffy both times. She is just loving her white bras in this particular episode, as a matter of fact.
White on white, wasn't it? I saw that. White on white.
Yes, white on white. Both. White on white the first time, and then the second, the last scene was lavender.
Oh, I missed the second one, but I saw
it. Wasn't there one from Joyce?
It was at the very, very, very end, was Buffy. I don't know.
I have a feeling there was one from Joyce, because she probably would have pulled her shirt down to get Ripper all, like, hot and bothered.
No, we do have handcuffs watch, and Joyce had those. She was wearing her Juice Newton jacket, and it was pretty awesome.
Nice. Loved it.
Yeah, I thought for sure in the bronze scene, I was going to see a few, and I didn't notice any. I thought for sure Playtex bra strap was going to be another
name. Love it. Awesome. Now, that's what we thought and observed. If you have any observations or thoughts of your own about any Buffy episode that you'd like to share with us, please feel free to call us at 270-40-BUFFY. Also, you can reach us via the email at
PotentialCast@gmail.com.
You can visit our website where we post the episodes and show notes. That's PotentialCast.com. But, as always, a great big invitation to the Facebook group. Yay. You go to Facebook.com, you put in your login, and you do a search for PotentialCast, all one word, no spaces, and you can be our next member. We are currently up to 196 members.
Ooh.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I heard a rumor that someone joined us, unjoined, and is planning on rejoining right when we have 199 members, because that person thinks that there might be something special in store for number 200. That is shady.
Is there, though?
Maybe.
Hmm. Maybe not.
Maybe.
You're so coy.
It might be an autographed 8x10 glossy of me. Worst prize ever. Right? Did you hate it when I gave you that, Christine?
Yes.
It wasn't a good, it wasn't a very good gift.
But would it be your Dimebag Daryl picture?
Of course. Of course. The infamous picture, indeed.
Love it.
I think it may be time for quotes. I need to go first.
Okay.
I will watch it. So you do ice, you know, sawed off.
You're so cool. You're like Burt Reynolds. I burst out laughing when I heard that.
Oh, my God.
Oh, babies must be so scared.
Are there any nachos in here, little tree?
That was so funny.
That's okay. Call me Snyder, just a last name like Barbarino.
Oh my God, I have a runner up. I don't like this. They could have heart attacks.
I think Christine's quote is, look at that dent in your car the size of New Brunswick. Right?
Isn't I don't remember the exact quote.
That's
fine. I didn't write it down.
Well, I kind of surprised you with this guest hosting gig tonight anyway. So,
Okay, I've got another quote. I liked, it's Sander. I like chocolate. There is no bad here.
My runner-up is, there are some foxy ladies here tonight.
My runner-up is, no garbage, smell me.
Oh.
Really? Okay, sorry.
Cringed a little.
All right. Well, what's our homework for next week, Steph?
Next week is Revelations.
Revelations?
Hmm.
I hope that's not the end of our podcast. Moira. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for
thank
having
you
me
so much.
And we can hear you. Oh yes, you're a doctor.
You don't have time for petty podcasts.
No, I don't. You can hear me on Twitter dispensing medical advice.
And recipes.
Yes, but a shout out to Desiree, because she gave me her spot. She was supposed to be doing this gig tonight, so thank you, Des.
Thank you, Des.
That was very
yeah.
And Christine, where can we hear you?
You can't, but
well, sure
I was
can
glad to be invited last minute, even though I don't listen.
Well, I think you're more than welcome. I'll go ahead and say that. But you can listen to Christine on Podcast, an infrequently released podcast by yours truly and hers truly as well.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're watching along with us, Christine. A lot of our listeners are getting a kick out of Illyrio, you know, coaching you through the first one.
I know. It took a long time for me to get started.
Well, she was big time spoiled on Angel because she watched the end of Becoming Part 2.
I did.
Before even starting season 2.
Oh, good.
But Christine doesn't care about being spoiled.
No, I started
on
that.
Things.
I watched that even before starting season 1.
Really? Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, it was like the first episode I ever watched.
Christine doesn't mind being spoiled. In fact, like, we're watching it and she finds certain parts of certain episodes very creepy. Christine's not very good with scary scenes. And when I say scary, I mean the least bit suspenseful.
I like dramas. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah, this is true. And so, the whole Dead Man's Party, you know, I watch, I laugh, I comment, I smirk. She had some jump out of her seat moments.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was very creepy.
It was creepy.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I was sitting on the couch and I'm watching the episode and all of these zombies are walking around and I really hate zombies. So all these zombies are walking around and I hear out of my left ear music playing in the kitchen. And I know the kids are asleep and Illyria is sitting next to me on the couch and there's music playing in the kitchen.
I forgot that I had set up the kitchen speakers to play what my computer was playing and I was looking for a song to put at the end of one of our episodes.
I paused the episode and I stand up and I'm like, what the fuck is the music doing playing in the kitchen?
And I didn't know what she was talking about because I was wearing her brand new Hootin' Tootin' noise-canceling headphones.
I was unimpressed.
So I didn't realize.
I'm like, Illyrio, I'm watching a show on zombies here. Could you please refrain from any, like, I don't know, extraterrestrial behavior or...
Bye, everybody!
Bye-bye.
Okay, let's do it once more with feeling. Once more with feeling. Bye, everybody!
Bye!
Bye!
Awesome. Thank you.
Let's dance in style, let's dance for a while. Heaven can wait, we're only watching the skies. Hoping for the best, but expecting the worst. Are you gonna drop the bomb or not? Let us die young or let us live forever. We don't have the power, but we never say never. Sitting in a sandpit, life is a short trip. The music's for the sad man. Can you imagine when this race is won? Turn our golden faces into the sun. Praising our leaders, we're getting in tune. The music's played by the madman.
Get rid of the fascist pig! Get rid of the fascist pig!
Okay, moving on from politics.
Yes.
Oh, we were talking politics?
Oh.
I thought we were talking to hockey. Isn't that all we talk about? All right, sorry. I went away for a while, but now I'm back.
If you talk about hockey, I'll start crying, but I don't want to talk about hockey right now.
Yes.
Very sad.
Yes. Let's talk about Tim Horton's coffee.
did you talk about
Buffy? This is a Buffy podcast.
it's a We Love Canada podcast.
No, that's podcast with now all we do is like drunk shows.
The
last one was, oh my god. I'm glad I apologized in advance to anybody watching that.
Okay.
Sorry, let me turn down my TV.
Are you watching the basketball?
I've got the basketball and the baseball on, so it's going to be...
Oh, you have two TVs?
I've got my little picture-in-picture action going on.
Nice. Pip.
All right. I'm ready. I think.
Okay, ready for me?
Always.
A mule, it's a real mean team. We can love.